Praise the Lord, friends. Yeah. I didn't know that such a few of you can sing so nicely. You sounded like Africans, man. Praise God. What a lovely time we're having in the presence of God, worshiping our Lord. Amen. Christmas is over. Don't look so sad. The presents have been unwrapped and some gifts will be exchanged soon. The toys that were torn from the packages have perhaps outlived the children's interest already. And it seems that taking down the tree is, in a couple of days' time, is never a chore that anyone wants to do. And for many, there's nothing to look forward to except the credit card bills. But a mother expressed how she felt about the aftermath of Christmas in this poem. I'll read it for you. It's called The Days After Christmas. 'Twas the days after Christmas, and all through the house, nothing would fit me, not even a blouse. The cookies I nibbled, the eggnog I had to taste at the party, at the holiday parties, had all gone to my waist. I remember the marvelous meals I had to prepare, the gravies and sauces and beef nicely rare, the wine and rum balls, the bread and the cheese, and the way I'd never say, no thank you, please. As I dressed myself in my husband's old shirt, I prepared once again to do battle with dirt. I said to myself, as only I can, you can't spend a winter disguised as a man. So away with the last of the sour cream dip, get rid of the fruitcake, every cracker and chip, every last bit of food that I like must be banished till all the additional ounces have vanished. I won't have a cookie, not even a lick. I want only to chew on a long celery stick. I won't have hot biscuits or cornbread or pie. I'll munch on a carrot and quietly cry. I'm hungry, I'm lonesome, and life is a bore. But isn't that what's January for? Unable to giggle, not even a riot. Happy New Year to all, and to all a good diet. The good news, friends, is that in 365 days, we can do it all over again. But we are here today, friends. We are here today to declare joy to the world. Amen. The Lord has come. Amen. Amen. That is what it's about. Praise God. Firstly, I want to say that Christmas is a time for us to celebrate God's peace. The word Christmas, the very word, brings joy to our hearts. And during the season, words like love and joy and peace and goodwill are familiar to everyone who knows the Christmas story. I like what Luke 2 verse 14 says, when the angel says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. I like the New Living Translation says, and peace on earth to those with whom God is well pleased. With these words, the multitude of angels' friends declared the time when Jesus was born, the miraculous birth of Jesus. And these words still ring true for us today. The true meaning of Christmas, friends, is about God giving us the most amazing and spectacular gift to reconcile the world to himself. Nothing can capture us, the mystery. Nothing can capture us the mystery and the beauty of Christmas better than the carols, the Christmas carols we sing. They have the power to recreate in us the scenes of the first Christmas. One of my favorites and one of the most familiar Christmas hymns are "Joy to the World, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing." Isn't that marvelous, friends? It makes the birth of Jesus so real in our hearts. The Bible says in Romans 5, verse 1, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And so Christmas is a time to celebrate God's peace. Secondly, Christmas is a time to cherish God's love. Historically, Christmas commemorates the birth of Jesus, but theologically, Christmas is the celebration of the incarnation of God in human form to reconcile humanity to himself. The heart of Christmas is God showing his great love for you and I. Isn't that true, friends? That's the heart of Christmas, to show God's love to you and I. The whole superstructure of Christianity rests on the reality of Christmas. Reverend Don Skinner put it this way: God did not send Christ to us. God came to us in Christ. I love that. The theologian described the incarnation with these words: God must be able to come over to our side without leaving his side. You know, when you think of all these things, friends, it makes Christmas so real to our hearts, friends. Okay? Some folks have heard it. They have heard it so much that no longer are they moved by the magnitude that majesty became a man. We must never get over being in awe and astonishment at this fact, friends. The astronaut James Irwin, let me just read this, who traveled to the moon, experienced things that you and I never will. And yet, he never got over the crux of Christmas when he said, "There's something more important than man walking on the moon, and that is God walking on the earth." Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that lovely? In commenting on the crux of Christmas, Max Lucado captures the indescribable incarnation in his book, God Came Near, when he wrote this. Let me read it for you. Max Lucado has a way with words, eh? "That particular moment was like none other. For through that segment of time, a spectacular thing occurred. God became a man. While the creatures of earth walked unaware, divinity arrived. Heaven opened herself up and placed her most precious one in a human womb. The omnipotent, in one instant, made himself breakable. He who had been a spirit now was pierceable. He who was larger than the universe became an embryo. He who sustains the world with a word chose to be dependent upon the nourishment of a young girl. God as a fetus, holiness sleeping in a womb, the creator of life being created. God was given eyebrows, elbows, two kidneys, and a spleen. He stretched against the walls and floated in the amniotic fluids of his mother. God had come near. That's Christmas, friends. That is what we celebrate. We just thank God. The most famous statement in the Bible, in John's explanation, is John's explanation of why God sent Jesus to earth. John 3, verse 16. God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. We learn this from the angel's opening statement to the shepherds of Bethlehem, Luke 2:10. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." Good news of Christmas is worth celebrating for three reasons, friends. Firstly, it is personal. I bring you. You see that? Secondly, it is positive news. Good news of great joy. Thirdly, it is universal news to all the people. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been, where you're heading. The good news is this, friends, God loves you. Isn't that wonderful? God loves you. Christmas is indeed a time to celebrate God's love. Thirdly, Christmas is a time to acknowledge God's presence. You call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. God's presence. The angel brought us news we can celebrate. It's the best news of the world, that God loves you. But not only does God love you, but God is for you and God is with you, friends. So his birth brought great joy to the world. Listen, shepherds and wise men and angels all shared in the excitement of knowing about this great event. They knew that this was no ordinary baby. The prophets had foretold of his coming hundreds of years before. The star stopped over Bethlehem just to mark the way for those who were looking for this special child. The angel Gabriel announced his arrival. The angelic host sang of a wonderful chorus to him. The brightest star marked his presence. The wise men came to worship him. The shepherds came to honor him. The priests knew from the scriptures he was coming. And Jerusalem, and especially King Herod, was terrified by this. Jesus' birth was the incarnation of God on earth, opening the door of new hope and life eternal. His mission, friends. Listen, reason why Jesus came. His mission was to redeem us. His mission was to save mankind from the fatal results of Adam's fall. He stayed long enough to finish the work of redemption. John says in John 1, verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." In other words, his coming into the world was not the beginning of Jesus. Hey? He was the Word in the beginning. He came from eternity. He always was, and he is the eternal God. He temporarily laid aside his glory and took a body through the Virgin Mary to live in the world long enough to die for the sins of the world. God with us. Christmas is a time to acknowledge his presence. Fourthly, Christmas is a time to accept God's salvation. We have to accept God's salvation, friends. Listen, if you have not accepted God's salvation, you have the opportunity now. Why? Because Christmas is a time to accept God's salvation. Matthew 1:21, the angel of the Lord said, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. I like Luke 2 verse 11, when the angel said to the shepherds, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Friends, what a marvelous message from heaven to a world weary of life and sick with sin. Unto you is born a Savior. What do saviors do? They save. They save. Wherever you are, whatever your sins are, there is salvation, friends. The Bible says we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We are all born with the sinful nature. We call it the Adamic nature. Then the sin of Adam became our sin. We need to have that removed. We need to have that sin taken away. And the only way is through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the center of Christmas. He's the reason for the season. And C.S. Lewis put it so lovely. C.S. Lewis said, the Son of God became a man that men may become the sons of God. Isn't that lovely? The Son of God became a man so that men can become the sons of God. Friends, God loves us, man. God has given us the gift of salvation. If we believe that Jesus died for our sins, you and I and everyone can ask him to come into their hearts and forgive their sins. And the Bible says in 1 John 1 verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Friends, Christmas is a time to accept God's salvation. And lastly, Christmas is a time to express our gratitude for God's grace. Titus 2 verse 11 says, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. Isn't that a beautiful verse? Christmas is a time to appreciate what God has done for us in Christ. A time of thanksgiving and remembering God's grace and kindness and love and mercy and goodness. And 2 Corinthians 9 verse 15, Paul rightly said, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Men have tried to describe Jesus, they fail him. He's indescribable, man. When our hopes clash and our dreams die, Christmas is designed to revive us, to give us our second wind, to bring happiness and glorious hope to us. The spirit of Christmas is Christ's spirit, and it must take birth within our hearts, friends. That is the real Christmas, when we accept Christ as our personal Savior and Lord, friends. And we become committed to serve those in need. We become committed to giving hope to those in despair and to spreading hope and peace and joy and love to the world. With Christ in the heart of man, then light begins to shine where darkness was before. Ignorance gives way to the beginning of wisdom. Impurity is replaced by purity. Hatred ends and love begins to blossom. Isn't that true? When God, Jesus comes into your life, man, your life is changed. let's celebrate. Not only yesterday, oh, well, we were sitting around and we were eating lovely food and so on. Let's not only celebrate up till there. Let's continue. As I was preparing this sermon, I was saying, oh, people are saying, hey, Keith, already Christmas is over. Amen. We celebrate every day the birth of our Lord. Isn't that true? That should be in our hearts, friends, because if Jesus wasn't born, how could he die for us?
Yeah.
Eh? Let us celebrate the coming of Jesus, praying and doing all we can to promote love and joy and peace and goodwill among people on earth. Christmas began in the heart of God, but it is only complete when it reaches the heart of man. In our upside down world, don't let anyone, anything steal Christ from you. He loves you more than you can imagine. Christmas is his story, but it has to become your story. Luke 2. Today, that means right now, in the town of David, a Savior, one who forgives you, forgives him, has been born to you, personally to you. He is Christ, the long-awaited Messiah, the Lord, the Master and Leader. Friends, I want to close with three questions. I want to close with three questions. Is he Savior to you? Is he Christ to you? Is he Lord to you? Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born. Is Christ the Lord? Is he your Savior? Is he your Christ? Is he your Lord? I love what Corrie ten Boom said. If Jesus were born 1,000 times in Bethlehem and not in me, then I would still be lost. It's time to make sure that Jesus is born in you, friends. We're going to bow our heads in prayer. I'm going to pray slowly. Got a prayer written down here. You can pray it after me in the quietness of your heart, or you might want to say it loud. Let's pray. Jesus, I am in awe of you. Thank you for loving me, even when I feel unlovable. I don't understand how you can accept me when I don't measure up. I confess that I'm a sinner and I want to turn from the way I've been living. I need you to be my Savior. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I desire to live under your Lordship for the rest of my life. Thank you for not only being born, but for dying in my place and rising again so that I can be born again. I now receive forgiveness and the gift of salvation by asking you to come into my life. Make me into the person you want me to be. I want to act on what I know to be true and enable me to adore you for the rest of my life. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, friends. You know what? We might not sing it for a long time, but let's sing. my favorite hymn, Joy to the World, the Lord has come.